Take your Bible, please. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verses 10 through 15 together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. We'll read this. I'll pray. We'll have a special. And then I will preach for the morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Lord, I need you. I need you to take the truth, though it may be a bit simple this morning, but sometimes we forget the simple things and get out of rhythm. I pray that today this would put us back into a rhythm of principle and right so that we could do more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You need to pay attention. Verse 15 this morning, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Let's see here, Brother Jeff, there's room right back here if you want. We got room over here. We got room wherever. Is your wife coming too? No. Gotcha. She's in nursery. We got you. I just didn't know how many seats I had to get, amen? All right. Now, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be, I want you to notice the next word, ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm going to preach to you this morning a sermon entitled, How Not to Be Ashamed. How Not to Be Ashamed. Now, do me a favor. Close your Bible and look at me for a minute. I'm going to tell you a story first. And it's going to seem totally out of place, but you'll find out why in a little while here. How many of you remember the story of the three little pigs? All right, it was Wiley and Neil and Richie. No, those are the three big hogs. no, we know the story. I'll review it quickly, but listen to me. There were three pigs, and they were building houses. One made one of straw, one made one of sticks, and one made one of bricks. And they finally rushed about and got their houses done, and the big bad wolf came. You say, who's that? That's Brother Mike. actually, it's Arlene, but we won't tell anybody. But I saw the thumb going. but look at me. The big bad wolf comes to the first house, the pig with the straw. And he says, let me in, let me in. And the pig says, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. You remember all those fun things. Say, preacher, we're adults, so we can have fun too. And so the wolf, big bad wolf says, if you don't let me in, I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. And the pig said, I'm not letting you in. So he huffs and he puffs and he blows the house of straw down, and the little piggy has to run to his brother's little house that's made out of sticks, and the big bad wolf follows him. And we go through the routine again. He knocks on the door and says, let me in, let me in. And they both say, not by the hair of our chitty chin chin. And he said, if you don't let me in, I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. They said, huff and puff and blow the house down. So he huffs and puffs and blows the house down. And they run to the house made of bricks. And he says, let me in. They said, no, we're not going to let you in. And they said, we're not going to let you in. And he says, I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. And he huffs and puffs and huffs and puffs and huffs and puffs and blows and blows and blows and blows and can't get in the house. And so he decides to go down the chimney, and they had a pot of boiling water on. They hit to the water and they put the pot lid on and they ate him for dinner. All right. That's how it ends. Now, you say, why? Because they were Baptists. They didn't waste food, amen? Now, let me ask you a question. You never heard that story said so well in your life, have you? Wait a minute. Which of these pigs wasn't ashamed? I wonder. Was it the one with the house of straw, the house of sticks, or the house of bricks? I would say probably the one that was least ashamed or not ashamed at all is the pig that made his house out of bricks. Who wants to build something and watch somebody else destroy it, very simply? The pig with the house of bricks, because he decided to do it right and do it well the first time. And it was going to endure the test of time. And, by the way, that's a whole lot better book for your kids and your grandkids to read than the modern junk out there today. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be ashamed one day when I stand before God. I have no desire to be ashamed. Now, folks, listen to me. Fellas, I need you looking this way. Not playing back there. Just pay attention up here. You'll do a whole lot better. Now, I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before God. Can I tell you something? We're all spinning around on this globe at 1,000 miles an hour as we go around the sun, and we have jobs to do. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be known and having to be ashamed because of the way I work. Nor should you. I'm going to make some difficult statements today, but I need you to listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." School's getting ready to start. I know, groan. All right, parents are cheering, students are groaning, but school's getting ready to start. Some of you are starting new jobs. This is kind of a reset button pushing time here, but may I say this, we should not be ashamed of how we work. Did you know that, especially if you're saved, you shouldn't be ashamed of being saved? Romans chapter 1, verse number 16 said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Amen. Can I tell you something? I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to say I'm saved. It doesn't bother me in any arena of life. You can put me anywhere in the world, I'm not ashamed to stand up and say I'm a Christian. You can put me in a room full of ISIS terrorists, I'll tell them I'm a Christian. I'm going to hit them with the gospel gun before they stick me in the throat. It's okay. It doesn't bother me. You say, "Preacher, would you do that?" That quick. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, that's the way it ought to be. But can I tell you something else? We're not supposed to be ashamed as Christians of how we work. You know, there's a lot to work. We live in a society where people want more than they earn. I'm going to say that again. We live in a society where people want more than they earn. You young people, listen to me for a second. Your preacher's really old-fashioned. He believes in a dirty four-letter word called work. Amen. He really does. Did you know that your preacher's so old-fashioned? I think it's a crime. I think it's a sin. I think it's wrong that a professional athlete makes multiplied millions and tens of millions of dollars every year to play a game. That is one of the things destroying the fiber of America. You go back to the early days of professional sports, these guys worked full-time jobs and played ball on the side. Well, how are they supposed to make a living? Go out and work. Work, not play. And I'm not necessarily for the person in the position right now, but I think it's a crime that a guy that can kill a pig, skin it, blow it up oblong, run up and down a field and throw it through or kick it through some plumbing at the end of the pasture makes more money than the President of the United States. I think it's wrong for a school teacher, listen to me, to make less money than what they're worth. And by the way, I think some of our teachers are highly overpaid in the public school system. How many of you get to work 9 months a year and make $100,000? Starting level teaching positions run about $50,000 in the state of West Virginia for 9 months. And we're some of the most underpaid teachers in the union. You get into California and things, if you have a master's degree and been teaching 10 years or more, many teachers make between $100,000 and $120,000 a year, plus benefits. And they claim they don't make enough money. Now, I realize you're talking to somebody who's been a principal involved in Christian education a long time. I know how much work it is to teach. But I also know that you work for 9 months. It's a full-time job for 9 months, but there's 3 months off. Everybody doing okay? Now, it doesn't mean that I think teachers are overpaid. I think that we're claiming that we want more money than we're worth. When I went to school, all of my teachers worked part-time job in the summer. Most of them worked construction or painting businesses. They did medical stuff on the side. They worked all year long second jobs, and that was in the public schools. We're not talking Christian schools. That's just the way it used to be. Now, hang on here. We have social programs, welfare, and we want everything given to us for no work in return for what we do. It's very hard to find people who actually want to work these days. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
If you're a hardworking man, you know what I'm talking about. If you are a boss or an overseer of any group of people or have anything to do with hiring, you know what I'm talking about. People just don't want to work anymore.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, I was talking, I guess it's several weeks ago, to a friend of mine up in the Chicago area. He works in a big firm in Chicago, and he makes good money. He's probably a year or two older than I am, been in the same career for probably 25 years. He said, Brother Bush, he said, it's a shame. He said, I got kids coming out of college, 21, 22, 23 years old. They want more money. They're asking for more money than I make to start. And they don't want to do any work to get it. He said, I've been at this job 20, 25 years, and they're asking to start at a salary higher than mine is. And they're supposed to be my assistant. He said, it's tragic that people don't want to start from the bottom and work their way up. They just want the pay with no work. And I hear that everywhere I go. Now, we even have kids upset if a teacher makes them work at school. Did you know that a child is supposed to work? Now, I'm not for child labor as far as putting children to work in factories. But I am for making a child learn how to work. Did you know a child's supposed to take care of their own things at home as well? Did you know a child can pick up their own dirty clothes? They can pick up their own toys? Did you know they can help put dishes away and they can help do the dishes and they can help do the laundry? They may not be entrusted with every aspect of it, but you're learning to work by learning to be a good child at home. Did you know a boy can chop wood, mow the yard, take the trash out, and not be having to fight to make them do it? Did you know that your schoolwork, young people, is your job? If you want paid in life by the way you go to school, most of you are going to starve to death. Everybody doing all right? Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself right now. I need somebody to help me here. I believe in hard work. I believe in working hard. Now, my job is not physical necessarily, but I'll promise you one thing. Your preacher is not afraid to work. Not afraid of the physical work. I'm not afraid of the mental work. I'm not afraid of the people work. And I put my hours in, I promise you. I was at this church just a few minutes after 5 o'clock this morning. And that's not unusual for me. And I'm here late often. And I put many, many, many hours in. And it doesn't matter what hour of the day, I'm generally going to answer my phone unless I'm with somebody else. We're in the middle of something. And if it does, I call you right back, just so you know. When I get too busy to serve the people that I know and I love, I'm too busy and it's time to do something. But until then, I don't plan on rusting out. I plan on working myself out. Everybody doing all right? Now, I believe in hard work. I believe if it's physical work, it's time to jump in the hole and make it happen. Amen, Brother Mike? Brother Mike and I got into a hole one day. We had to break up a rock. It was about 95 degrees outside, about 300% humidity, and we wore down two noses on the jackhammer, and jackhammer got so hot that we had to wear gloves, and we still couldn't hold on to it because it was turning red hot. Trying to bust a rock about the size of our pulpit, about distance, width of this pulpit. And it took hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. When Brother Mike's making phone calls to find dynamite, you know how rough it is. And I couldn't get him to dial fast enough, and we couldn't get any. So we just stuck in a hole. Now, wait a minute. I'm not afraid of that. Now, I might not know what I'm doing, but I'll swing elbows with you. You just tell me where to swing them, and I'll swing them. I have no problem with that. See, I'm not allergic to work. God says we're supposed to learn how to work. We have a lazy society. Don't believe everything the media tells you. Do you know what the unemployment rate in America is right now? I looked at it this morning. 49% of eligible people able to work in America right now, 51% of the people in America work. At the height or depth, whichever way you want to look at it, of the Depression in the 1930s, the highest unemployment went was about 24-25%. We are literally double unemployment of what it was during the Depression. The problem is we're just printing money and giving it to everybody that's not working, where we did not do that during the Depression. Right. Now, I want to help you. I love you. And many of you in here are good, hardworking people. But can I tell you something? We've got to train a whole world how to work. See, I don't think it's fair. They know I'm a Christian. They expect more out of me. Good. Amen. Good. Then show it to them. Amen. I think the hardest working people ought to be Christians. Amen. I don't think you ought to say, well, it's not fair. They expect more of me than they do somebody else. It might not be fair, but step up to the plate and hit the curveball. Now, number one, God made man to work. God made man to work. Now, and when I say man, it means mankind. It means men and women. All right? But God made us to work. And by the way, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. And they didn't have to wonder which bathroom to go to. Say, that's not politically correct. I'm glad you recognize that. Hang on, you'll hear a few other things. Now, wait a minute. God made man to work. If you went to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 1, God said, God put man here to have dominion, dominance over the earth. Then he said in chapter 2, the first job was naming all the animals and learning how the earth ran to keep it running smoothly. Did you know Adam's first job was naming and classifying and organizing and keeping it to where he knew which animals were done and which ones weren't, and all that? He had to do all of that as part of his job. How would you like the undaunting task of naming, categorizing, drawing pictures of, colors of, whatever, of the billions of animals and bugs on the earth? That's not a job I want, especially if you're colorblind. Now, wait a minute. And by the way, in the animal world, most of them, you had to draw the male and the female because they look different. Guess what? There's supposed to be a difference in men and women, too. They look different. They're plumb different. Did you know two bucks don't mate? Did you know that two bulls don't mate? If an animal's got more sense than a human, what's that tell you? She shouldn't be president. I mean, God made your... I told you it was coming. It just leaks out every once in a while. God made your body to work. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Your body does best when you keep it moving. Did you know if you sit too long, you hurt? If you lay down too long, you hurt? I know, some of you are at the age, doesn't matter which position you're in, it hurts. I'm getting there. We were driving, you know, you get stuck in the front end of my truck for 3 days. Every once in a while, you just got to get out and move. My wife says, what's hurting? I said, what's not? I said, I'm not used to sitting this long. I got to move. I got a little doojigger on my phone here. It keeps track of how many steps I take every day. I've got 2.5 miles in for Sunday already. And I haven't done nothing but come to church today. And I didn't walk to church either. I'm on the move, all right? Typical Sunday, I'll walk 4 or 5 miles just here at the church, on the church property. I'm up and down the steps and all around, and I'm everywhere and doing everything, and I enjoy that. And by the way, I don't hurt as much when I'm doing that. You stick me in that truck for 8 hours driving, man, I'm hurting. I get out, and I'm groaning and moaning, and what hurts? Everything. I got to stretch, you know? Sometimes you just got to get out and walk. Say why? Because God didn't make you to sit on your blessed assurance all day.
Amen.
Did you know doctors will tell you it's not healthy just to sit there? Get up and move. And God made those joints to move. And God made it to where your spine does better if you'll get up and move. Now, I better move on here. When we were made in God's image, God was a worker. God said, I'll make you in my image. What did God do for 6 days of creation? He worked. You get to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 31, and he said, God looked at all he had made. By the way, that word made means work. You don't make something without work. And he looked at all he had made, and it was good, and he rested the seventh day from all his work. Wow. God took a day off. Say why? Because he needed to rest from 6 days of work. Now we have people that want to rest 6 days and work one day and get paid for the 6 they didn't work.
Yeah.
Every once in a while the schedule get a little heavy, and somebody sent me something the other day I thought was cute. Says, I need a day off. And we need an extra day between each day to recover from the day we worked. And I understand some of the humor in that, but there's a lot of people that believe that way.
Yeah.
Well, we want a 3-day weekend, so we're going to go to a 4-day work week, 10 hours a day, so we can party for 3 days and work for 4. That's fine, but God made it to where man's body was supposed to work 6 days a week and rest one.
Amen.
I'm just telling you like it is. I average between 80 and 85 hours every week of my life. My wife will tell you there was a stretch of time of about 3 months. I averaged 110 hours every week. Now that's a lot out of 168 hours in a week. Okay. And I work hard. I work a lot. I'm not ashamed of that. I go home. I got to take care of the house. When we get 4 foot of snow and the boys are married and gone, I don't have somebody else out there. I got to shovel the stupid snow. I was out there, and my snotty neighbor looked at me. She said, I bet you bitch those boys now, don't you? And she's got her teenage boy out there, and she's working, and teenage boy's watching her shovel snow. I wanted to say something. I said, sure do. Been missing them for a long time. I said, they did do a lot of work around here. I said, now the old man's got to do it, but I'm out here doing it. She said, yeah. She said, I wished I could get one to work. I just started shoveling. I didn't say a word. Now, I'm not mad, but I'm glad my boys knew how to work.
Amen.
My boys haven't been perfect. Trust me, they have my blood. They have their faults. They've got my blood. But may I say, and my father's blood. But may I say this, they've never wanted for a job. My boys have been employed many, many years. And I'll promise you one thing. I got one that's working 2 jobs, sometimes 3 jobs. He's got 1 full-time job and picks up 2 part-time jobs just because he wants to stay busy working. And he's working a bus route. I got my son in Florida. He's working as an assistant pastor. He's having the time of his life. He texted me yesterday. He said, Dad, pray for me. He said, they just added song. I have to lead the singing in church. He said, this scared me to death. I said, welcome to be an assistant pastor. I said, you better be ready for anything. He said, I know. He said, you taught me my whole life. Just be ready. I got a text during Sunday school. He said, Dad, pray for me. As soon as I'm done leading singing in morning church, I got to go preach junior church. I just found out. He said, good thing the gun's loaded. I said, yes, sir. I said, as long as you got it full of bullets, you never waste a shot. I said, you never have to miss a shot. Just keep it going. I said, that's called being a good assistant pastor. Just be ready for anything. And he's working. He's working hard. Isn't that what it's about? Now, God made you to work. Did you know...
Everybody doing all right? Did you know that sweat is healthy?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Did you know that sweat actually cleans your body? I must be the healthiest person in the world. My wife will tell you, I don't just get a little bit of perspiration. I sweat. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's 20 below zero outside or if it's 100 degrees outside. When I'm done preaching, I'm wet from skin out. Even with the coat off when it's been so hot up here. I have water running down my back right now. I am very healthy. I sweat. That means I drink a lot of water, too.
Now, wait a minute. Did you know that just because you sweat, it's not a bad thing?
Amen.
Did you know nobody's ever been allergic to sweat? I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know it helps clean you? That's why a pig is considered a dirty animal, because a pig cannot sweat. A pig rolls in the mud, not because it likes mud, but that cold dirt, as it dries, cools its skin because it has no sweat glands. And it's healthy to the pig to cool down, because if it gets too hot, it's going to overheat and overcook its brain. It's going to pass out and die. Amen? Now, God put man here to work. I'm going to tell on Julianne here in a minute. But my daughter and Julianne went on a hike Monday. My wife and I went along. We went on half a hike because we went to the wrong place, and we actually went up and over a mountain that was not healthy. For old people. And when the young people are complaining about it and the old people are dying, amen? Now, wait a minute. As we were walking back, I looked at my wife, and I'll be honest with you, I got a little angry. Not at her. I looked around. Brother Barnes, you're going to love this one. I looked around, Brother Gus, and I looked at all of the dead trees laying in the forest. And I thought, what a waste. I said, honey, look around. Look at all of the dead trees that are just laying here going to waste. I said, I wonder how many homes in America could be heated this winter just with the wood laying that you can see right now. I said, this is just one spot in one set of forest. I said, the entire United States Forestry Division allows nobody to go in and clean this wood out. I said, you go to Europe, none of the woods are like that, and they don't have forest fires. And it's because they clean the wood up. I said, if we get the welfare people, and we get the people in jail, off their blessed do-nothing, give them chainsaws, give them trucks and chains, take them out there, make them work 40 hours a week, clean up all this dead wood, stack it somewhere, and if their family needs it, they take what they need, but everybody in America could pay a little bit of money for it. We'd cut the fuel bills in America. They want renewable energy. Well, let's burn the wood that's laying down in stupid forest.
Amen.
It'll give us healthier forests. It'll give us a much better production, and you'll take people that don't do anything. By the way, you'll have less illegitimate babies from the welfare people, because after 40 hours of doing wood in 1 week, they're going to be too hot, too tired to go out there and have illegitimate babies. My wife said, are you done? I was getting madder and madder. Can I tell you something? I think it's a sin. I think it's a shame that our people that are sitting in prison aren't doing anything. I really do. I could teach you how to have less repeat offenders. Take them out there and work them real good and hard. Teach them a trade. Teach them how to do something with their life. And when they get out, give them a chance to do something with what they know. Everybody doing all right? Now, I don't think some child molester ought to be working in a school somewhere, though they end up there. But you can give him a lumberjack job. He's not gonna molest a lumberjack. They'll find him 6 months later. Oops, we had an accident with the tree. Fell on somebody. We just now found him. You know, God made your mind to work, not just be entertained. Parents, I love you. You ought to limit how much internet, gaming, and cell phone time your children have. Give them something constructive. Well, they have games and it's keeping their mind busy. No, it's entertaining. Take them out and teach them how to sweat. Amen. Teach them how to work. Boy, that's good stuff. Did you know that families used to play together, work together? They used to get out and do yard work together, and they did farm work together when they lived on the farm. You know, instead of going to the store and buying 3 dozen corn, why don't you go down to the local farm and ask the farmer if he can pick corn, go out there and learn what it's like to go pick corn. That'd change your life. Instead of buying it every week, go pick about 20 or 30 dozen of it, take it home, and learn how to cold pack it or freeze it. That's called work. My kids will tell you. They remember we were in Indiana. We'd go down and we knew a farmer, and he'd let us just go pick at whatever corn we wanted. Man, that was a blessing. We took the kids down there one day, and it started pouring. Have you ever been in a cornfield when it's raining? It's not real fun. And then you're picking corn. And all those leaves on corn, when they get wet, they're like knives, razor blades, and they just cut right through you, and you can't feel it because the water's running down. You look down, your arms are turning red, and you're like, oh, wow. Man, the kids were having fun. We were together recently. They were talking, Dad, you remember when we went and picked corn in the rain? They still remember it. Can I tell you something? That was fun. Amen. Every time my wife would pull corn out, they'd say, you remember this? Yeah, is that stuff we picked? That's stuff you picked. Say, why? Because they were excited about their work. My boys, when we were hunting together, my wife would label them, Jeff's deer, Josh's deer. And when she'd pull them out, she'd say, Jeff provided supper tonight. Josh provided supper tonight. It was his deer. Say, what was it? Work. They had to work at it. Boy, that's good stuff right there. Did you know that you ought to work on being spiritual? Amen. Do you know it takes work to be spiritual? You have to read your Bible. You should pray. You should come to church. You should be telling others and inviting others to church with you. Hey, did you know that being spiritual takes work? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've got to hurry. Number two, your work determines your success. Your work determines your success. Now everybody listen to this statement. Everybody succeeds at something. It might be good or it might be wrong, but everybody succeeds at something. Some of you teenagers think the only thing you succeed at is your game on your phone. And you may be a success because that's what you put the most work into, but it's not success in anybody else's eyes. You better learn how to do something constructive with your life. See, everybody does something successfully. You show me what you succeed in, and I'll show you what you work at most. I taught my boys how to mow grass. I taught them how to have straight lines. Taught them how to change the direction from time to time so the grass doesn't get worn out in the same pattern all the time. I know some of you that doesn't make any sense at all to you, and that's fine. But can I tell you something? I thank God my boys know how to mow yards. I taught them how to shovel snow. You say, what's so hard about that? If you ever watched somebody who didn't know how to shovel snow, it's kind of funny. They'll throw it right where they got to throw it again, and they make about three times as much work for themselves. Did you know when you shovel snow, you ought to find out which direction the wind's blowing and throw it the other way? Because when you throw it the way the wind's blowing, guess what? You're going to shovel it again. My neighbor, during the blizzard last year, how come you're throwing all your snow on that side? How come you don't split it up? I said, so it'll all blow into yours. I said, if I throw it over here, I said, the wind's coming from that direction. I said, I'm going to have to shovel it again. Huh, I didn't think about that as she had half of her yard, or half of her driveway done. I said, I'm throwing it the other way. She says, well, that makes sense. Huh? I said, I grew up in snow country. Trust me, I know what this is like. Now, wait a minute. There is far more to success than just money. Let me say that again. There's far more to success than just money. Did you know you can be a success at work and not be the boss?
Amen. That's right.
Did you know you can be a success in life and not make millions and billions of dollars?
Amen.
Did you know you can be a success in life and never make a penny?
Yep.
You ought to be a successful wife if you're a wife at home. A successful homemaker. Did you know how many young ladies don't know how to clean a house? You know, I mean, young ladies don't know how to cook. You know, if it's not boxed macaroni and cheese, they don't know where to get it. If it doesn't come out of a box, a can, or a bottle, they don't know how to do something. Now, listen to me very carefully. I believe in hard work, but I also believe in teaching and training and being patient with somebody to teach and train. And you can be a successful mom. Did you know there's a way to clean successfully? Okay, we're going on. Did you know? You ought to see some of the looks I'm getting right now. It is not happy. Did you know you can have a successful family and not be wealthy? Did you know you can have a successful marriage and not be the CEO of a corporation?
Amen.
I thank God for my dear wife. 27 plus years she's put up with me. I do. I thank God for that.
Amen.
I thank God for my kids.
Right.
I've got one that's an assistant pastor. I've got one that's working in a machine shop. And I got one going to Bible college. She'll probably end up being a teacher and a preacher's wife. That's fine. Doesn't matter to me. I didn't rear my kids to follow in my footsteps. I reared them to do what God wanted them to do. And if they'll do what God wants them to do, that is success. I'm going to say this publicly. Did you know I'm just as proud of my son, Jeff, who works in a machine shop, works on a bus or a van route in Lexington for Brother Fugit, as I am Josh, who's an assistant pastor in Miami, Florida? Matter of fact, in some ways, I'm more proud of Jeff because he didn't screw his life up first. Josh just about messed his entire life up. I'm proud of a young man that does that. You say, well, he's not a preacher, so God didn't call everybody to be preachers. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm okay with that, just so you know. I enjoy that. I took he and my wife out to dinner one day because Mindy was froofing up or getting ready for a wedding or something. I don't remember what it was. And Jeff wanted to sit by his mom. I sat across from my wife and my son. Halfway through the meal, I watched him put his arm around his mom and pull her close. I was proud of him. Later, him and I just pulled him aside. I said, thanks. He said, for what? I said, for loving your mom. He said, well, it's my mom. I said, I know, but I appreciate how you're caring for her. I said, that means a lot to me. I said, nobody's forcing you. But it means a lot to me that you're caring for your mama that way. Can I tell you something? That's success.
That's right.
That's success. Did you know you can be successful in your friendships? Do you know, I think we ought to be successful friends. We ought to try to be a friend to somebody. We ought to try to work at our friendships and make sure our friendships work well. Did you know you can have a successful walk with God? But it's going to take work. Did you know you don't wake up one morning and God all of a sudden, because you put your Bible under your pillow, that everything in there went through your head and then stuck in your brain? You don't get knowledge by osmosis. Did you know you don't wake up one morning super Christian? Ta-da! It takes work. It takes labor. You say, preacher, you know the Bible. You've been studying it a long time. Yeah, and I still read it an awful lot every day. And I'm not right now, but I've read through it twice already this year. I'm on number 3 on my trip through, just in my Bible reading, not my study. You say, why? Because I have to. I have a lot of people dependent on me to know what that book says, and I got to stay at it. Everybody doing all right? All right, hang in there. It's okay. Heard some yard bird one day that said he's a pastor. He said, I think I've read through the Bible once in a year, one time in my life. I thought, good night, you ought to quit your job and go get an honest job.
That's right. Yes, sir.
For a pastor of a church to not be able to read through his Bible once a year, something's not right there. Did you know you can have a successful attitude, but it's going to take work? Teenagers, listen to me. You're stuck. You're stuck partway between being a kid and partway between being an adult. And sometimes adults aren't good at telling you which to be, either an adult or a kid. And when you're wanting to be a kid, they want you to be an adult. When you want to be an adult, they want you to be a kid. And it gets all befuddled and mixed up in there, and sometimes there's a little bit of war. It's okay. Work on your attitude. As long as your attitude is right, everything's all right. You give me a kid that's going the wrong direction, but he's got a good attitude, I can help him. You give me a kid going the right direction with a bad attitude, and we got troubles. Because his attitude's going to change direction real quick. Everybody doing all right? All right. Number 3, I'll hurry. Doing your work well and completing your work will keep you from shame.
Yes. Amen.
How do you not be ashamed? Do your work right and do your work well and finish your work.
Amen.
Did you know Americans are very good at starting and very poor at finishing? Go to your garage or your basement and find out how many jobs you don't have done. Just went from preaching to meddling, didn't I? That's why I didn't walk in my basement this morning. Now, did you know that a partially done job is not a successful job? Done and done right is a complete, well-done job. Just because the little pig put a house up, but it was made out of straw, didn't mean he was successful. Just because the little pig put one up made out of sticks didn't mean he was successful. But the little pig that took the time to put the bricks together and make it happen, guess what? He was successful. Did all three build a structure? Yes, they did. But how many of them built one that lasted? Only one. He did it the right way. You know, some of you young people ought to be glad I'm not your teacher. I don't believe in giving extra credit. I think extra credit is foolish. Let me tell you why. I don't think it's right for a kid to have 100 questions on a test and miss 30 of them and get one question right of extra credit and get 5 extra points so that they get a passing grade. I think that's wrong. I'm sorry. Guess what? If you go to work in the real world, they don't give you extra credit if you mess up your job. When I worked in a machine shop and I was producing parts, guess what? If the parts were wrong, the parts were wrong. I didn't get extra credit for the ones that were done right. I didn't get extra credit just because I may have run 2 machines where somebody else ran 1 machine. No, I had to make sure the parts were right on both machines that I ran. And if they were wrong, guess what? I got written up. Everybody doing all right? Learn to organize your work so that you can complete it. Do you know that some of you have no idea how to get through all the work you have to get done? Did you know, ladies, some of you give up cleaning your house because you try to clean it all at one time? You want to start at one end,
sweep it all to the other end, and hopefully by the time you get it out the other end, it goes out the door. But many of you don't have the time to put into cleaning it all in one day. Can I tell you something? Then work out a plan and do one or two rooms a day. And if you just do one or two rooms a day, you could get it all done in a week. And you turn around and do it again. Did you know that if you've got piles of laundry and you've bought clothes every week for the last 6 months because you didn't do laundry, there's a lot of laundry there. But you got to do it one load at a time. Can I tell you something? Your kids ought to learn how to do their own laundry. You boys need to learn how to do laundry, because someday mama ain't going to be there to do it. Amen. I'm glad I learned how to do laundry. Matter of fact, I'm not afraid to do laundry now. Now, my idea of doing laundry in my wife's is a little different. To me, I can put all the whites together, put them in, do the hot water, do everything I'm supposed to do, put them in the dryer, dry them, throw them in the basket, take them upstairs, throw them on the bed, and she's got to fold them and get rid of them. That's doing laundry. I'll do it all but the folding stuff. Now, wait a minute. I know how to put the colors together. I know what this goes together, that goes together. Did you know that the preacher's not afraid to jump in and help the wife clean the house? You know, I'm not afraid to clean toilets. I've cleaned many of them. We're in a public building here. We don't have our own washrooms here. We got two that we got to keep the doors propped open when somebody's not in them. Somebody else does the cleaning. I'll be honest with you. Many a times I get here before a service and make sure those things are cleaned up, and I've cleaned them myself so that you didn't have dirty bathrooms. And I'm not going to tell you. Say why. And it's not because people here are bad people. It's just not cleaned up to the standard I wanted it for you. So what'd you do?
Cleaned the commodes. Cleaned the sinks. Made sure everything was where it's supposed to be, what you needed it to be. Trash was out and done. Say why? Because isn't that what it's all about? Boy, that's good stuff. I better hurry up here. Did you know that there's more frustration in incomplete work than anything? Did you know your relationships at home is as important as your job at work? You ought to work at the people that live in your house. Just, by the way, put as much work into the people that live under your roof as you do the people that you work with, and you'll find the success at home that you have at work. Be a finisher, not just a starter, and let me finish with this last point, number four. Hard work builds respect. Hard work builds respect. The harder you work, the more respect you'll earn. Yes, sir. I believe that. The harder you work, the more respect you'll give. Do you know who the most respectful people in the world are? People who know how to work hard. Amen. People who recognize hard work. Not talent, but hard work. I thank God when I grab into some of you men's hands, they're rough. Sometimes they're dirty. Not dirty filthy, but dirty stained because of the type of work you do. You know, that doesn't bother me a bit. Sometimes I'll be out, I'll visit you and say, oh, preacher, my hands are dirty. That's okay. I'm made out of dirt too. Let me grab your hand. Doesn't bother me a bit. I'm not afraid of dirt. Say why? Because I respect people that know how to work and work hard. I respect people that work in an office and work hard. I really do. I understand the mental pressures that go with office work. Believe me. I understand it. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that lazy people don't respect anything? I'm going to make a statement here. Listen to this. Unsuccessful people view successful people as evil, cheating them from what they could have. The 99 and the 1%, that's lazy people complaining about people that have worked hard. Everybody doing all right? I'm going somewhere. You learn to respect yourself and others more when you have learned to work hard. Why is it? I can answer the politicians' questions. Why is it that you go into the poor slums and they're always the most violent? Because nobody's working. And because nobody's working, nobody has respect for anybody else.
They don't respect anybody else or anybody else's things. When a mama can go on national television and say, I think it's a crime that the police shot my son because is all he did was rob the store. He shouldn't have to run in fear for his life. Something's wrong in America. Especially when that kid grabbed the officer's gun and tried to shoot him in his own police car with it. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to ask you a question. Everybody look at me. And I'm not being against any color of person. If you think I'm a racist, you're an idiot. Amen, Brother Neil? Amen. One of the best friends I have on the face of the earth, this guy right here. I love Neil as my own brother, and he knows that. But he also knows what I'm saying is true. Listen to this. How many of you have seen the tragedy in Baton Rouge with all the flooding and things? I know a church, Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge. Bobby Buchanan is the pastor there. His dad, Dr. B.G. Buchanan, was pastor there. Their church had 3 feet of water in it. They've lost all of their stuff. I trained Bobby at Bible college. I know that church. But let me ask you a question. Everybody look at me very honestly for a second. Where's Black Lives Matter helping them? Where's all the protesters going down to help these people? No, we got to put police in the streets to keep people from robbing the stores called looting. And that's wrong. I'm not against black people. You know that. I don't care what color they are. If you're lazy and not working, guess what? You don't respect people. That's why you'll steal from them. Do you know, I respect Jeff and I respect Brian. Enough to where I'm not going to take his things. I'll work and get something if I want it.
Amen.
Just because Brian has something that I don't have doesn't mean I should go take it from him because I want it. That's called no respect. And he's got a dog that'll bite your leg off.
I was just warning somebody in case they wanted to come to your house. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? People that don't work don't respect somebody else. And please don't get mad at me. I'm going to help you here. The stupidest thing we could do in America is make minimum wage $15 an hour. Flipping burgers at McDonald's or pushing the French fry button at McDonald's does not merit $15 an hour. Well, you can't make a living wage on that. You're not supposed to go to McDonald's to make a living wage. Called an entry-level job, but because we have a president that doesn't believe in building America, that's the only job available. Okay. You earn the respect of leaders when you work hard. Not only do you get respect, not only do you give respect, not only do you respect yourself, but leadership and successful people will respect you if you work hard. Promise you. I promise you. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If your boss has to come looking for you to find out where you're sleeping on the job, you're lazy.
That's right.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Jeff, you know this is true. I worked in a machine shop. My boss was about 6 foot six, 6 foot eight. He weighed, at that time, probably 350, 375 pounds. He was not a small man. He was a giant. Had a head on him like a cow. I mean, just that big. I was running three machines one night. I was keeping them all busy. I was just running in circles all night long. He was there late, came down, saw me working. He said, Craig, I need to talk to you. I said, that's okay. I said, but I gotta go to work. And I hit that machine, and I pulled parts, did this. He said, I got to talk to you. I said, okay, start talking. I started working here. I had to run about from here to the piano, go get the other. He said, Craig, stop. I said, I got to work, Stu. He said, I'm the president of the company. I own the building. Stop. Okay. I said, what for? He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm running three machines. He said, we had three guys running these machines today. He said, do you know your parts count at lunchtime is higher than all three of those guys? And they worked an 8-hour shift. I said, not my fault. I'm working. He said, I want to give you a raise. I said, okay. He said, I'm going to give you a $1 an hour raise, retroactive 2 weeks ago. I said, thank you. Can I get back to work? He said, you're nuts. He said, you Baptists are crazy. I said, thanks for the raise. Can I start the machines back up? I got to keep them going so that you can make more money, pay me more money. He said, have at it.
He did that twice. Can I tell you? And by the way, I didn't ask him for a raise. I learned how to work hard, got the respect of my boss, and guess what? I got his respect by working hard. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? There's only one thing you can't work at and get, and that's salvation. You cannot work your way to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I tell you something? You can't work your way to heaven because Jesus already worked for it and paid for it.
Amen.
He did all the work and it can't be earned a second time.
Right.
And you can't earn it any way on your own. There's only one way to know for sure you're going to heaven, and that is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can't get it by coming to an altar and bawling and squalling and telling the preacher all the bad things you've done in your life. You can't get it by getting baptized. You can't get it by joining a church. You can't get it by trying to have the good outweigh the bad, because guess what? You're not good enough to outweigh the bad in your life. You need what Jesus Christ did for you, and that alone to take you to heaven. He left heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, shed his blood at Calvary, died, and was buried and resurrected 3 days and three nights later. You can't accomplish that work, therefore you can't earn it, but he could, and he did. And so all you got to do is trust what he did to take you to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. But can I tell you something? You Christians ought to work hard at earning rewards and rank and things for heaven. We can send some things ahead. We can invest in the future. Some of us as Christians, you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. We can take care of that. Got the baptistry all warm downstairs. It's ready to go. Maybe you've been saved and you've been baptized by immersion. Need to join church. In a second, we'll give you a chance to do that. Maybe you just need to decide, I'm going to get busy doing something for God. There's something that I could do, preacher, and I just need to get busy doing it. And that's what this is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, my head's bowed, my eye is closed. If I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I won't embarrass you, won't call you out, won't call your name. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you put your hand up so I can see it, please? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something I needed. Maybe it was home, maybe it was work, maybe it's something spiritual. Something in that sermon was what I personally needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. Yes, everywhere. In a moment. We'll stand to our feet. As we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. But if you need to get saved, you come today. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could care for that today. You come. If you'd like to join our church, you come. We'll receive you into the church today. No problem. Maybe you just want to come to this old-fashioned altar and pray.